Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Thursday evening, February 15th. That means it is time for our weekly Bracket Rundown show.
Woohoo!
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got David Dorman and John Tytel to my sides up top here, Matt Zukowski and David Griggs below us. And, you know, last week we had one of our best Bracket Rundown shows of all time because the puppet was not here. Unfortunately, he is back this week.
Well, I started to log on, but you told me it was Friday.
I told you it was Friday this week also, and unfortunately you're here, so I don't know what's going on. This is, however, our Bracket Rundown show, and what we are going to do during the course of about the next hour is mimic two-thirds of what the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does in the course of a week. That is, we are going to, live here on tape delay, pick the teams that we feel are going to be in the NCAA Tournament, and build a master seed list 1 through 68 with those teams. And we're going to do that all in a lot quicker process than the real selection committee does. But at the end of the show tonight, our goal is to have a consensus, or hopefully a consensus 1 through 68 seed list, which after the show will be actually put into a bracket. And if you're watching, you can look down below and see that final bracket, but you just completely ruined the show.
There it is. I see it. It's down there. My God, why did we seed South Carolina there?
Just a quick note, we're starting a little after 9 p.m. here Eastern on February 15th, so games that are being played as we record this or later tonight, such as Minnesota-Purdue, Memphis-North Texas, Gonzaga's game, Grand Canyon's playing, St. Mary's is playing, Utah's playing, Colorado's playing. None of those games will be factored in unless somehow they go final before we're done. Rutgers' win over Northwestern will be factored in if any of you want to knock Northwestern down a little bit, deservedly so after that loss tonight.
Still can't win on the road.
I think I covered everything, so why don't we try to get going here if I can get the screen share to work. Okay, Griggs, you want to fill for a second here while I figure out how to get the screen share to work?
Well, I just want to know where the cats are. Like, why don't we have the cats?
Oh, they are not around tonight.
Chad, you only use the screen share like every day for the past 12 years.
I clicked on the wrong window and I couldn't get it back. Here we go. And you know what? Look what came up. It's a blind resume. One of our favorite things to do. Let's do a blind resume before we even get into the bracket. And as with all blind resumes, the question is going to be the same question we always ask. Left or right, who do you like better? Are they even? Let me throw out to a couple of you. Matt, you're kind of nodding your head. Left or right, which way do you think is better here?
Taking a quick look, the right has a fair more has a little more value, but more opportunity. The left, not bad. I think you go through tier three, especially down to tier three, that's where there's a difference. I think and the metrics, I slightly lean the left.
Slightly left. Griggs, I think you're probably going to go the other way because there's road wins on the right. Am I correct?
Yeah, and two really good ones right on top. I know who the one on the right is, but I have no idea who the one on the left is. I love the team on the right. I know they had a rough night the other night, but I really overall love this team's body of work.
Tytel, let me throw you a Dorman real quick chance to make place your votes, and then we'll look at who it is.
I'm leaning right. I was going to lean left because of the OAR being starkly different and
yes,
leaning left, but the predictive metrics, the predictive metrics also lean left, so I'm going to lean left. Sorry. Team on the right has a great strength of schedule and has a ton of tier one wins compared to the team on the left, but I like predictive metrics and OAR, so I'm leaning left.
All right. Dorman, you want to make it a tie? You want to give the left the win?
I'm going with Greg's. I'm on the right. I like the road wins big time.
The one major thing was left off of the team on the left, but Greg, the team on the right is
South Carolina.
No, it's not.
It's that's not. Probably.
No, really? It's not.
That's Tennessee and Kentucky. I mean, it is South Carolina. You changed it.
The team on the left is the Kentucky Wildcats. The team on the right is the Butler Bulldogs. Are we shocked here that we just saw a team that did not get a single vote in either poll get a 50-50 split with a team that's in the top 25? That's and the question more is, Matt, is this kind of a damning on Kentucky's profile than as much as how good Butler might be?
Yeah, and it's funny enough, in my thing, those two teams can play each other in a 7-10 game.
Tytel, did it shock you?
I've been burned enough by blind resume that nothing shocks me, Chad. But yes, I think 7-10 is a very good call. I think it might be more of a 6-11 the way things play out eventually. But if they played today, then yes. And I would have to give the advantage to Kentucky just because they're bigger than Butler. And I don't like picking against Calipari in March.
Well, I would agree with you. I think if these two teams play, Kentucky does win. But when we look at these profiles, that's where Dorman, you win at Marquette, you win at Creighton. That trumps what Kentucky did on top of its profile by a lot, I think.
Yes, it did. Yeah. I totally agree, but I've confused myself because although I picked right and I went with Griggs on Butler, but I have Kentucky coming up in tonight's bracket before I had Butler, just to be honest.
I'll tell you, my personal seed list, I have Kentucky rated higher, but I would have gone – I was doing it right also, so.
I was going to say the team on the right was Butler, Chad.
Okay.
Let's Butler get to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Let's get to our bracket here. This is our list of – well, it's not a bracket. It's a seed list. It's a 1 through 68 seed list. What we're going to do is I'm going to go to each of you in turn to give me the next four teams up. We're going to debate it. If we come to a consensus, we will move on. If we don't and there's an absolute tie, I will serve as the tiebreaker. But as we populate teams in, we will actually be able to see some of their major metrics, including their net, their OAR, which is their average of all the metrics, their strength of schedule, their KenPom rating, and our Joby Fortune's J&G rating, which you can find right up there. So lots of metrics will show up on the screen here. We'll be able to pull the team sheets. Yeah. Should we get going?
Yeah, Joby's not That's here. Well. So, yeah, any bad things you want to say about the J&G, go ahead. Joby's not here.
Or the ACC.
All right.
Or the ACC. Well, let's leave ACC off of the one line.
And I just love the Mountain West. I mean, my one line is full of Mountain West.
Well, we're not going to Griggs for the one line then. Dorman, why don't you start things off here with the first four teams?
Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, Arizona. Please, Chad.
Houston and Arizona. It's probably going to be almost unanimous, I bet, on those top three. Although I could be wrong. But, Matt, what do you think? Not only the order, not only those four teams, but also the order, especially on the first four seed lines, what we call the protected seeds. Order is very important on those first 16 teams.
Yes, and I totally 100% agree with that order and those four teams.
Tytel, do you want to say anything bad about your Arizona Wildcats, or are you going to make it almost unanimous here?
I have no problem with the four teams. As far as the order, as of this second, yes. Based on the Minnesota-Purdue score, I'd say call me in an hour and maybe I'll shift the order around.
If somehow this game goes final before we're done, and it probably won't, and Minnesota pulls off the upset, I agree with you. There's got to be a move here. But
I would agree with that. Well, can we pull up the Purdue profile here? Okay. I mean, I when I look at this, Chet, I'm just not seeing anything impressive here.
I was going to give Griggs the two line. Just for that, I'm not going to give it to him.
Oh, come on. I got a great two line.
Look at that Purdue profile, though. Arizona, Alabama, Tennessee, Marquette, neutral court wins. At Wisconsin, at Iowa, at Maryland, Gonzaga, neutral, home Illinois, and nothing bad in the loss column.
When you were at Rutgers, it's a pretty good win because of how good they are at home. And like half of Purdue's wins are better than that. This is almost a historically good resume.
Tytel, I'll let you take the two lines since we booted Griggs down the line.
We mentioned Tennessee, so let's throw them in there. We like Matt, so let's throw Marquette in there.
Love that.
We like Matt.
Only for Matt, not because of the team is playing, just because of Matt. Yeah.
No, I'm a friendly guy. Matt's a nice guy. And we got to start getting some blue bloods in here. So I'll throw Carolina as the seventh team, even though they've had a rough little month. And then there's several Big 12 teams to pick from here. I'm going with the Jayhawks only because when you beat Houston and Baylor, it impresses the heck out of me.
Yeah. Matt, did he get these four teams right, including your Marquette team and taking the Carolina team that's lost three out of five games?
Actually, yes. I might shuffle the order a little bit, but these are the four teams I have here on there. I think I might flip-flop 5 and 6, and then I'd flip-flop 7 and 8. But then I think it would be these four teams. But like, so that's not probably not a big deal for where they would go.
I really like three of them.
Which one don't you like?
Kansas, and let's pull them up here for a second.
Okay,
and,
well, give me a team you would replace Kansas with.
I actually it's someone in their conference, and it's someone that beat them. I would go with Iowa State. And a couple of things that I like a little more about Iowa State, they've been a little bit better on the road. Kansas has been horrendous away from home. Their wins are against Indiana and Oklahoma State, and they barely beat Indiana. Indiana, for Christ's sake. And I realize that, like, some of these places are hard to win, but when you go to Texas Tech and you get atom bombed like that, I just can't see – That just seems to emphasize what has been an issue all year long, and that it's that they can't go to someone else's court and win handily, even if it's Indiana.
Dorman, what do you think about the argument that maybe Kansas, because they have struggled so bad away from home, should be down a line, while Iowa State, who has some nice road wins, should be up a line?
It's really tight. The first thing I go to is, did they play? Yes, Iowa State won. But the thing I look at here is to try and break – the tiebreakers here. Like, what did you schedule? What did you try and do out of conference in the non-conference? And when you look at Iowa State's, it's just, they didn't even attempt to like test themselves. I know the conference is difficult. You know, that's coming, but like play some out of conference games. That's going to test you. You see where your team is early in the season. Kansas did it. Iowa State didn't. I give Kansas the slight nod ahead.
Yeah, they both do. They both have top 330 out of conference non schedules. So I mean,
Ty tells Dorman, right? We gotta not keep Iowa State down because they played nobody non conference.
No veto, Chad.
No veto. All right. I think this is gonna stay as is.
I actually had Kansas on the four line, believe it or not.
All right. Wow. Well, you have the right to be wrong, and you are wrong. But we put in? Greg Griggs. I'll give you the next four teams. I'll give you the three line. We have Iowa State under consideration. And I'll tell you what, you do not put Kansas on your three line also.
Well, okay, I don't have Kansas on the three line, but I have a fantastic line for you here.
Go ahead.
I got Iowa State at the top of it, which I had them as eight overall, so nine isn't egregious. The next three I would listen to arguments for other teams, but I really like Duke here, and I like how Baylor's been playing. And I ended up with Alabama, which I know just even saying that seems like it's higher than it should be, but which is why if somebody wants to veto or argue against that, I am all ears, and it's a committee decision, not just mine.
Yeah. Well, Tytel, what do you think? Is he right with Iowa State, Duke, Baylor, and Alabama?
I would have a Auburn Tiger squad that just destroyed South Carolina. I think it was by 40, although it felt like it was 70 or something. It was insane. Yeah. Over the Dukies. They are all, I think, in the region, in this three-line area, so I don't have a huge veto if everybody else prefers Duke, but the X factor for Duke is that they have a double asterisk loss, which Chad loves. When they lost to Pitt, they were missing Mitchell and Roach, which certainly is two of their better players. So there's an argument for Duke. I would choose Auburn just because they destroyed South Carolina. They beat Alabama. The loss at App State is looking very decent. And I think I'll stop there.
Another reason I know that this only started jumping out at me, Tytel, I like that Pitt win. Obviously not as much as the neutral win against Baylor, but that's looking more and more like it's a really good win. Pitt's good. They won at Duke. I mean, that's how good Pitt is.
Okay. Backwards logic here. Dorman, can you rescue me? What do you think about this Auburn versus Duke debate?
It was really tight with me, so I wasn't going to agree or disagree with anything. I had Duke the last spot on the three line and Baylor with the top spot on the four line, so I agree. So I understand the fighting here, and I really have no problem either way. I did go Duke before Baylor.
Before Baylor? Auburn.
I'm sorry. I had Auburn before Baylor. I had Duke, Auburn, Baylor. Yes. Duke,
full Auburn, disclosure, Baylor. Auburn is my very next team. If it was a five-team line, so they'd tight. Be on it. Yeah.
Matt, it's you want to break? You want to break the tie here? I assume you're probably going to go Auburn because I know you're a big fan of the predictive metrics, and they definitely favor the Tigers.
Yeah, so though actually, I did. This was one of the comparisons I was making right toward the end of the three line. I did side with Auburn. So
It sounds like it's super close here, but I think what we're gonna do is we'll move Baylor and Alabama both up a spot here, then drop Auburn in and hold Duke over until the next line.
Okay,
Seems to be more the consensus.
And you need to shift that whole line ahead of Kansas because all those teams have been much better on the road.
Matt, can you give me the four line, and please do not give me Kansas because they're already in the field.
Yes. Yeah, all right, so definitely we'll have Duke there. Then Wisconsin, Clemson, and then this is really where I have to feel like I had to make a stretch, but I put Illinois here as the last four.
Dorman, let me start with you. What do you think about Duke, Wisconsin, Clemson, Illinois?
I have two teams ahead of Clemson. I had Clemson on the five line. I had two teams ahead going on the four line. I was debating. I was between Creighton and Dayton for that spot where Matt gave it to Clemson.
Between Creighton and Dayton. Okay. Let's compare Clemson to one of them. Tell me which one you like better.
Creighton.
Tytel, what do you think? Should Clemson be down a line and should maybe be Creighton or Dayton up here as I pull the two profiles up?
Or DeAndre Ayton while we're at it. I mean, I think that I like all these teams. I think I would go with Creighton. Certainly Clemson beating North Carolina on the road. Number one impresses the puppet. Number two impresses me a whole lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But Creighton's profile looks pretty good. Nothing in tier three like Clemson has. The non-conference strength of schedules are the same. The predictive metrics prefer Creighton more, so I prefer Creighton more.
Okay, so you would make the Creighton switch also. Griggs, would you make the Creighton swap and drop Clemson down the line also?
I actually had Clemson and Creighton right next to each other. I find this amusing. Matt and I evaluate teams very differently, but our results have been much, much closer than what I thought I would be because while I have Clemson ahead of them, it's by one. The one team I don't have on this line, and again, I have them close. They're down on the next line is Whiskey. And I understand recency bias would have most people have South Carolina off of it, but I still love South Carolina's overall body of work, even though they got, just boat raced yesterday.
Well, but Griggs, if you're going to play the recency bias, if you're going to say, let's, are you recency biased?
No, I am not playing the recency bias. I can understand.
But Wisconsin is also a team to knock down. You're knocking down a team based on recency bias also. This Wisconsin resume is pretty darn good up top still, despite the fact that they lost four in a row in there.
Yeah, but they've lost four in a row.
Right. Well, not anymore.
So you are using recency bias then. No, okay.
Yeah, for them, but not for South Carolina.
Okay. On that note,
well, because they've been, South Carolina's was much more recent. This has been going on for 2 weeks with Wisconsin.
I'll tell you what, on that note, we have a dead tie here between whether it's going to be Clemson or Creighton here. I don't think there's much favor for what you've been saying. I'll cast a tiebreaker vote, and at the end of the day, I look at Clemson and I say you won at Alabama and at North Carolina, which are two teams that we already have in this field.
Yeah.
Creighton doesn't have that. And that's why
I have Clemson ahead of Creighton by one. It's very close.
That's why I'm going to unfortunately side with the puppet and keep Clemson up there and go against Tytel and Dorman. But we've got our top 16 teams here. Creighton and Dayton, the only two teams mentioned that did not quite get in here. Oh, actually, South Carolina was mentioned as well, so I'll toss them up there under consideration. But we seem to be moving right along. We'll fly right through the show at this rate. Dorman, give me your next four teams.
Creighton, Dayton, South Carolina.
All right.
San Diego State.
Ooh. Okay, now we're starting to get into the weed.
Yep.
I like the 14s dead on what he just said, but it's not my vote. It's you guys to decide this stuff. So, Griggs, you had a comment.
Well, let's pull up Dayton. And, I like Dayton's program sort of from a fan aspect. I like Anthony Grant. We've got some friends that follow us. We've had them on the show. So I see them more than most people. And when you watch this team, they just don't look like a top 25 team a lot of the time. And when you look at this profile, I compared to everybody else on the five, is this really a five seed profile?
Tytel, what do you think?
As of today, yes. But the thing is, if you look at the remaining schedule, the team on the left has 0 games against the top 70. The team on the right has only games against the top 70. Therefore, I think that if Creighton loses out, shame on them. But I don't think they're going to lose out. And therefore, I think they're going to pick up some tier one wins in the weeks ahead.
Okay, let me throw another team out there that isn't on the line yet. What about Virginia or Utah State or somebody like that?
Griggs, please, one team at a time.
Virginia.
I can't put 5 teams on the screen. So you say you'd have Virginia over Dayton.
I would, but, you know, the win at Clemson and the neutral win at Florida, I just think that those two teams there are better than anyone Dayton's beaten. And Virginia beat them both away from home. I know they have a loss against Notre Dame that smells pretty bad, whereas none of Dayton's losses are bad. But I think Virginia tops out a little higher. And if you look at Utah State, I think they top out even higher than that.
Okay, well, Matt, let me bring you in here. First of all, Virginia, Griggs obviously forgot that they just lost at home to Pittsburgh 2 nights ago. When he suddenly has them, and I thought I had Virginia, I was trying to push Virginia up the seed list, put them on the 5 line. But what about putting Virginia or Utah State up here in favor of one of these teams that Dorman told us about?
That's way too early for both of these teams, I think. there'll be a couple of lines for Utah State. This is like, they're sort of in the neighborhood, but they need binoculars. Virginia is halfway down the block. Like, I don't have Virginia wearing white. Like,
Dorman, what do you? Oh wait, this was your line, Dorman. But do you want to? Do you have any further responses about the idea of putting one of these two teams up in here? Or was Matt right that Griggs is kind of in his own little world?
I'm closer to Matt here. I think San Diego State has a little I don't want to say significantly. It is strong, has a stronger body of work, a stronger resume at this point than both Virginia with the loss lately and Utah State. I am high on Utah State, and I don't have them very – I would be bringing them up very soon, but I do have San Diego State significantly ahead of both.
Tytel, is there anybody that we are missing then by going with – if we go Creighton, Dayton, South Carolina, San Diego State?
For the sake of argument, I'll say a Big 12 school like BYU or Oklahoma. But frankly, I think this 5-on looks good. Although I love the idea of putting one of the Big 12 teams in, bumping San Diego State down and trying to get an all MWC line on the 6 line. But it's a little hard to get that.
I don't know that you're going to get 4 MWC teams there. Boise's been slipping a little bit lately. But let me stick with you, Tytel, though. Why don't we stick with this 5 line and go ahead and give me your 6 line. We have 4 teams under consideration, but you can go anywhere. And I would not be upset if you leave Utah State and Virginia under consideration for another line or two. But
I will leave Virginia under consideration for a line or 4. I will throw in the 2 Big 12 teams in alphabetical order, please. And then I'll throw in a couple of Mountain West teams. For Colorado State and Utah State, I think it's a coin flip, although I believe that Utah State has already beaten the Rams this year, so I guess I would lean towards them, although I think that Colorado State also won at Utah State, so coin flip for me.
So was it Colorado State first, then Utah State?
Sure, but I'm not opposed if somebody wants to flip them or get rid of them.
Matt, what do you think? BYU, Oklahoma, Colorado State, Utah State.
No, this is, I think, pretty solid, all teams in this range. We're actually missing a Big 12 team, though, I think, in Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah. Can we pull up Oklahoma?
Yeah, I agree, Griggs.
Okay, let me put Texas Tech over here on the left. Let me put Oklahoma on the right. Kind of the idea here, Griggs, maybe this should be a swap out here.
Okay. I just don't see the value really in Oklahoma. I mean, the strength of that out of conference strength of schedule is bad. 2 true road wins. The home win against Iowa State and the road against Cincinnati are okay, but I'm just not that enamored with them. I mean, comparing them to Texas Tech, who's won at Oklahoma, whose conference record is better, whose strength of schedule is, well, not better, but like, I just think Texas Tech in just about every measurement beats them.
Dorman, what do you think?
Griggs is going Oklahoma before Texas Tech. Is that the
No. Tytel put Oklahoma in here. Griggs, I think, wants to put Texas Tech in instead of him.
I have Oklahoma before Texas Tech, but it is tight. And it's Oklahoma by a hair.
Tytel, what's
BYU's road record real quick? Can we just pull that up? Because
okay.
And again,
I'll pull that up here. BYU is 2-4 on the road.
Yeah, so that was one that I didn't give a whole lot of weight to. I mean, I didn't ignore it, but, you know, sort of like with Kansas at the same time, you don't want to give Texas Tech too much credit for that because everybody beats Kansas on the road.
Okay. Tytel, do you want to defend Oklahoma being in here over Texas Tech?
I would love to. It's hard to say the head-to-head because they lost. It's hard to look at the strength of non-conference strength of schedule. Although somehow it's even better. Texas Tech's even worse somehow. Predictive metrics lean left. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like Texas Tech, especially because they're getting hot at the right time. So if everybody wants to do them, I will certainly not lose sleep about it.
Matt, you wanted to do the Texas Tech move also, right?
Yes.
I think that's going to be the swap here. Texas Tech in, Oklahoma out for now. Any other moves you think we should make here, Matt, or the other three okay?
I like the other three. Okay, they're all right. I have right in the 6-7 range. So, and there's no one glaringly not in yet. So,
I guess this is kind of our sixth line then: BYU, Texas Tech, Colorado State, Utah State. Oklahoma slips down a line here below BYU. That kind of surprised me a little bit, but I'm not making the decisions. You guys are. And Griggs, I'll let you take the next four teams.
They probably won't stay there, but I have Virginia here.
You're getting closer. You're getting closer to Virginia time, at least here.
I had them a little higher. I had Texas. I like their profile. This is where I had Kentucky. Although a case could be made that they shouldn't even be this high.
We made that.
And
the
I still didn't have Oklahoma. I had Boise State at the bottom of my 7 line, one ahead of St. Mary's.
Tytel, he went Virginia, Texas, Kentucky, Boise State, number one, leaving Oklahoma out, and among other things. But what do you think about these four teams? And you probably want Oklahoma in over one of them is my best guess. Maybe you want more than one team over for these guys.
You're an excellent guesser, Chad. Let's get Boise the heck out of there and put in Oklahoma.
Right, let's pull those two up here. It's Boise and Oklahoma right here. And Griggs, I'll give you 3 seconds to defend Boise over Oklahoma because it's going to have to be a hell of a sell.
Well, I think and when you look at the aggregate, I think the win at Nevada, the win at New Mexico, and the neutral against St. Mary's outweighs beating a BYU team at home that's only won 2 games and an Iowa State team that, while good, isn't as good as doing those three. So I just think Boise State in the aggregate's done more. And their non-conference strength of schedule is noticeably better.
You want to respond quickly, Tytel?
I don't, Chad. I like the OAR to do my talking for me.
I think that's a good move here. Let's do that move already here. Do the Oklahoma-Boise flop. And let's see if there's other moves we can make on Griggs' line here. Dorman, you're up next to attack this thing.
I would bring one team into the discussion. I'd bring in Florida Atlantic here.
That's the team I was going to mention that I think we are omitting so far. But who would you replace?
I just don't know what to do with them.
Texas and Virginia. I have Florida Atlantic ahead of Texas.
I got Virginia next if you want. You can get rid of Texas too with this.
Okay, let's do FAU versus Texas here real quick. And Dorman, you want to make this case here why FAU is better than Texas?
I love the home wins. Neutral with Arizona, A&M, Butler. The Bryant loss does confuzzle me a little in the Florida Gulf Coast. The non-conference schedule of strength, again, a tiebreaker. Florida Atlantic way in their court there. The losses seem to be piling up on Texas. They got hot there for a couple weeks, and then they kind of slumped right back to it. When I watch the game, I just think Florida Atlantic looks like a better basketball team than Texas. And some of the metrics agree with me, some don't. But I like the Owls ahead of Texas.
Okay, let me respond to that. David, you're right. Like, Florida Atlantic looks like a team that can win the national championship when they're playing top five teams, and they look like a team that could win the Centenary Award. I'm convinced if they played Mississippi Valley, it would be they would be down by five with 8 minutes to go. To be honest, I really just don't know where this team goes. There's always a few like this, at least for me, to where I just don't know where the hell to put them. And I look, it would, so sure, let's put them here.
I agree with everything you said.
I'll throw one more number up here. This tier one, the record versus the top three tiers.
That's
14 and four.
Way
better than 9-8. So let's do that. Let's put FAU in here. Let's drop Texas out. And Matt, you want to do, was this your attack on his?
I think this is what I'm going to give Joby a coronary because I'm taking St. Mary's over Virginia.
All right. Well, your lives be destroyed here, Griggs. Tytel, should we put St. Mary's in and keep Virginia out for a little while longer?
If I had to pick between those two, yes. St. Mary's has played 18 games since December 1st. They've lost exactly one by exactly 5 points. They are one of the hottest teams in the nation.
Griggs, I'll give you 3 more seconds to respond here.
I think Virginia also one of the hottest teams in the nation. And
other than
I like
a home
the
loss
win
to Pittsburgh two nights ago.
Yeah, but before that, and Pittsburgh is really good. They beat Virginia and they beat Duke. And if we could go back, the real thing is I just think Virginia, in addition to being really hot, they top out higher if you pull the profiles up. Because
I'll put it back up here for a second. Because they want
in neutral Florida just strikes me as better than Gonzaga.
Dorman?
That's Colorado State too. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the win at Colorado State, but I don't like Colorado State as much as Clemson.
Oh, I have Colorado State ahead of both these teams. I can go. I would, in Tytel, say I have no veto because when I was building my bracket today, I had St. Mary's right next to Virginia. So yeah. I think this is tight here.
I got them close. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'll be the tiebreaker here then if it's kind of too two-ish, and I am with Tytel and with Matt on St. Mary's over Virginia here.
No, you can't change my
so
line.
So our seven line becomes St. Mary's, FAU, Kentucky, Oklahoma. You got Kentucky right, Griggs. Congratulations. Yeah.
Matt. I got them all right. You all got them wrong.
Matt, we have Texas, Virginia, and Boise State all under consideration, but you can give me any four teams you like.
All right, I'm actually going to lead off with New Mexico. Then I'll go Michigan State, Mississippi State, and then actually we'll have Texas at the bottom of the eight line.
Mississippi State.
Okay, hold on a second. So you're leaving Virginia and Boise State at yet another line, at least.
Yeah.
Instead going New Mexico out of the Mountain West. Going with Michigan State, who has been really playing well lately, I think, and Mississippi State, which I know Greg is going to have a problem with. So let me go to Dorman first on these four teams.
I agree with Texas. I would have Virginia on this line. I really do. I understand the loss earlier this week, but before that, they were red hot. I have Michigan State on this line. I have no problem with. Granted, I did this earlier. I also had Northwestern right here on the bottom of the eight, top of the nine, but they lost, so I could live with it.
Tytel, what do you think? Based on what he kind of said here, maybe we should have Virginia in here and maybe Mississippi State held off a little while longer?
Or altogether?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Where I go.
All right, Matt, you're going to have to explain this.
Mississippi State over Virginia. Matt, go ahead.
Auburn and Tennessee are significantly better than any team Virginia's beaten, and they're not great.
I think winning at Clemson is substantially harder than beating either one of those teams at home. And Southern is a lot worse than anybody that's beaten Virginia.
We can't forget that
Mississippi
quad
State
loss,
has
Matt.
One true road win, and it's at Missouri, which barely even qualifies.
No Tolu Smith, I think another one of their starters were out that Southern game, which obviously you should have won it anyway, but there was some injury excuses for the Southern game.
I get an injury excuse in a 1-point loss to a Florida, to a South Carolina, something like that, but to Southern.
Yeah, and just
at home.
In the sticking point is nobody in the top 150 away from home and only one away from home at all, like in a true road game. I mean, I think what Virginia has done is
we will be tournament teams at neutral, though.
Matt, I'm sorry. There's been more than enough love to hold off on Mississippi State for now and put this Virginia team in here finally. So Greg can celebrate team that he had on the one line finally getting in the field. But let's try to keep things rolling along here. We're doing pretty good here. Dorman, let's go ahead to the nine line. We do have Northwestern, Mississippi State, and Boise State all under consideration.
Yeah, this is where I bring in Northwestern, please. Mississippi State, please. I think I'm going to take here, but I like the Palouse. Wazoo, please.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think there's a Big 12 team we're missing, but
what about a Big East team from a blind resume? We might be missing.
I'm going to go with James Dixon's TCU team, please.
That's the team I thought we were missing so far here, but Griggs, I'll let you take the first shot. What do you think of these four teams? Besides your argument about Mississippi State, how about the other three?
Well, pull up Northwestern real quick, because I know, again, they're sort of a home court hero, but
it is updated with tonight's loss at Rutgers.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not as big a fan of them as, say, a team that we saw earlier in the blind resume.
So you would actually go Butler over Northwestern here?
Yeah.
All right, Tytel, should Butler be in at this point?
They should not. I would rather see an SEC team a la A&M or Florida. I know A&M is not having the best week, but they were missing Tyrese Radford for losses at Virginia and to Houston, and they were missing their big man Washington for the loss at Auburn. And as far as Florida, I understand that using Matt's logic, wins over Auburn and Tennessee are great. How about wins over Auburn and on the road at Kentucky for Florida?
How about wins at
Marquette and at Creighton?
let me ask you what the move would be then. If you would you put both A&M and Florida in here, one of them, and who would you pull out from that Northwestern Mississippi State Wazoo TCU group?
I would pull out Mississippi State.
Okay, and put in?
Go Gators.
Put in the Gators. Griggs, I know you'd probably be on board with that one because it gets Mississippi State out, correct?
Well, yeah, but I
know you want Butler.
What is everybody's like? And I know I've been asking this for 3 weeks. Why don't people like Butler more? And you sort of tried to, I think, make that point at the top of the show. I mean, it's just, oh, that profile looks great. Oh, it's Butler. What is it about them? Like they've beaten two protected seeds on the road.
Matt, you want to respond? Maybe Butler does belong here, even over if we're going to make the Florida move.
Don't make
the Butler move.
they have some nice moments, I'll say that, but I think it's the volume of losses, too, especially like 8, 9 of them. They're 7 and 9 in the top two tiers, and they're only 9 and 9 that against the top three. That's where you have some very nice moments, but they're not consistent enough to where.
Okay.
They don't have a bad loss.
They're 7 and 9. Loss. Matt, you're right. They're 7 and 9 against the top two tiers, but outside of teams that are top 25 teams in true road games, their record's a lot better than that. I mean, I don't think there's anybody on the one line that would not have lost at Connecticut and suffered some of those losses.
Matt, what would you do with this line? Would you agree with Tytel? We should put Florida in here?
Yeah, I agree with that, but I'd actually move Northwestern down.
Okay, so it's kind of the idea here is that we're going to put Florida in. It's do we dump Mississippi State or do we dump Northwestern? I know Tytel went with some Mississippi State. Griggs, you probably go dump Mississippi State as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And Dorman, this was your line. So I think what we're going to see here is Mississippi State come out, Florida come in. And we end up with Northwestern, Florida, Wazoo, and TCU as this line. Sounds like what we got. So I'll go to Tytel for next four teams. We do have A&M, Mississippi State, Boise State, and Butler all sitting under consideration.
Let's put in A&M. And even though I think Butler is more of an 11-ish, since there's a lot of good arguments for them, I have no problem moving them to a 10. I still think Mississippi State is a little early. I can go with Boise.
Yeah, Boise's been sitting there for a while. I think it's about time we got him in. I agree with you on that.
And as much as I want to put in Sycamores, this is not the week to do it, sadly. So I will go with a little Utah action, I think.
I think.
Dorman, you're laughing. What are your thoughts?
Because I thought about this long and hard. I got Utah in also at the very end, right? And not far from here, which is the very end. But I was like Tytel, like I couldn't get him in. I couldn't get him out. They just feel like it belongs here, but they're not playing their best ball. A few teams I would bring up. Again, I agree with Indiana State till the other night. Nebraska, maybe.
All right, let's pull that up. Maybe, yeah, Matt, this Utah team, it's just that Arizona State loss still stinks to me. And
so bad. Again, my hang up is 1-5 in true road games, and you've lost multiple games to teams that are nowhere near the NIT.
Matt, you sound just like Griggs.
Yeah, well, I'll say this much. I like Mississippi State significantly more than both these teams.
What about Colorado State?
Colorado State's in.
Log in the field. They're in. We're in.
Oh,
we're
right. in. Well, yeah. Colorado State I like them better.
A six line. Yes, yeah, I think we all agree that Colorado State's better than Utah.
I like them better.
Tytel, do you want to defend Utah being in here over Indiana State, Mississippi State, Nebraska, who was also mentioned?
Not only would I love to defend them, I'm going to use Matt's argument. So Matt is correct that the only reason Mississippi State lost to Southern is because they were missing, in addition to Smith and Fort, they were also missing, I forget the guy's name. I got it right here, Murphy. I mean, when you're missing three members of your rotation, that's the only way you can lose to a team like Southern, frankly. As far as the Utes, they were missing Cada against Houston, Cada against St. John's, Worcester at Stanford, and Lovering and Worcester at Washington. When healthy, this team is wearing white. They haven't been healthy all year, but they have excusable losses because of injuries on all throughout their loss column.
Until Arizona State, though, at home.
Almost inexcusable, and if you want to ding them for that, believe me, anybody who gets swept by ASU should not be wearing white, obviously.
Dorman, can we live with this line then as is? A&M, Butler, Boise, Utah?
No veto.
No veto. I think we're moving on. We do have six at-large big spots left. So, Griggs, you are up next. Just give me the next four teams only.
Okay.
We do have Indiana State, Nebraska, Mississippi State under consideration.
Right. Okay. I have next Nevada. And then I have a team that I really like. This is a team that's really playing well, and I know you're not going to like them, but let's look at them before we take them off. I have Pittsburgh here. And then Seton Hall. And then I have Providence.
You didn't even go Indiana State, huh?
No.
I was sure you were going Indiana State. All right.
They would have been they're close.
All right. So he went Nevada out of the I think that's our sixth Mountain West team we've gotten in. We did get that sixth number.
If they stay there. I mean,
If they stay there. Seton Hall, Pittsburgh. Tytel, let me start with you. What do you think about these four choices here?
I like the Mountain West team. I can live without the other three, though.
All right. We're near the end of the. Okay. Do you like the three teams we have under consideration, or do you want to go somewhere else?
I would go with the top two of those three under consideration, and then the third team would be the arch rival of the second team. Just to make it difficult on chat.
Is that Oklahoma or?
Oh, I was looking at Pittsburgh's arch rival. I was like, you put in West Virginia in your field? He's talking Ole Miss, I think. Well, let me follow up a few of these profiles here. Let's start with this Pitt profile, Griggs. I'll let you defend this. I get they've won at Duke and at Virginia, but
yeah,
I think that's enough. I think that's enough to put them maybe near the field or barely in the bubble situation. I don't know if there's enough to put them in the field yet.
I kind of think it's more than what the rest of them have done. I mean, I barely had them in, and you know, you're kind of splitting hairs at this point. But yeah, I think that those two wins there just kind of set them apart, I think.
Matt, I was against you at Mississippi State here. I, 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 can, Can Greg seriously say that Pittsburgh is better than Mississippi State?
Yes, they don't. Their wins are better, like, and their losses aren't as bad.
And look at the OAR difference. That's where, like, I think we're. That's the thing. I think we have Mississippi State should have been in a ladder too higher, but like at this point, they need. I think minimum get them not indicted, like an absolute minimum. The one of the two at large is that's not indicted right now.
Yeah, so if they were actually replace Pittsburgh, that would put Mississippi State there. Yeah. Dorman, you okay with that? Dump Pitt out for now, put Mississippi State in.
Yeah, that was the only team I did. I liked Greg's line. I just didn't have Pitt there, but I agreed with the other three.
Okay, Seton Hall and Providence. Let's take a quick look at both of those. Tytel, you did not think that either one of these teams belonged in right now. Why not?
They're certainly in the mix, and I am not going to complain if they are in here. I just like the Sycamores better, even despite the horrible loss this week.
Okay. Yeah, the Sycamores are not in yet.
I think they must be under the radar team.
They are probably better than what they appear. You kind of have to look at their profile. I mean to have that kind of a record and win that many road games in a league where it's traditionally hard to win on the road is something. It's not that I didn't look at them closely, Tytel. It's just I kind of just like – I mean, I just think Providence has done a little bit more.
I did want to pull up this Ole Miss profile on the right because, Tytel, you brought them up here. I like the 11-6 versus the top three tiers, but, Dorman, when I start digging into this Ole Miss profile – on three losses in a row on top of that and that 321 non-conference strength of schedule, there's a lot to not like too, isn't there?
Yeah, those are the ones that got me to get Ole Miss off my board. Exactly. Non-conference thing, strength of schedule, awful. The Central Florida game, I see it up there in the tier one. It doesn't really enamor me. I'm not in love with it by any means. Loss at LSU. I have Indiana State before the Rebels, and I don't really think – I got the Sycamores here.
I'll tell you what, we do have two at-large spots left. I think we kind of have it with Nevada, Mississippi State, Seton Hall, Providence. I haven't heard too much of a complaint, Dorman or Matt, from you on those two teams, if I'm correct, other than maybe Indiana State belongs here. But, Matt, why don't I go for you? Give me your next two teams.
Okay, so we have one. They're technically not open, but if they need it, I got Grand Canyon here, actually.
Oh, before Indiana State, even?
Yes.
Okay. You're going the loop before the Sycamores.
And then this is a little bit of a shot in the dark. I got Gonzaga here.
That's the one team I thought – I was shocked why we haven't mentioned them yet. Let's pull the Zags up here. Tytel, I think you had them in your last field. I kind of agree with that. Doesn't this team belong in right now?
I think yes. Certainly losing at St. Mary's, excuse me, the home loss to St. Mary's a couple weeks ago did not leave a good taste in the voters' mouths. But they're going to have a chance to win at St. Mary's in the revenge game on March 2nd in the final regular season finale. And I believe in them. Beating Kentucky on the road is certainly great. There's not any other teams that have non-conference wins like that in February, so I get it.
Okay. Dorman, are you okay with putting the Zags in?
I think Gonzaga's going to get in. I think the committee will give them a bid to the tournament. When I look at Gonzaga next to a team like Nebraska, Nebraska beat Purdue. Like, I like the win in Rutherford, Kentucky, but it's not like beating Purdue to me. They beat Wisconsin at home. They beat Michigan State. I just think Nebraska's done a little more than Gonzaga has, and I would have Nebraska. I would give a bid to Nebraska before the Zags.
Griggs, should we swap Nebraska for Gonzaga?
I had Nebraska ahead of them, but I don't think I had either one in my field. I'll say this for Nebraska. Assuming they'll win at least two of their three remaining road games, yeah.
Do it. Okay. Well, I hear the love for actually putting Nebraska in, holding Gonzaga out for now. There is one spot left. Dorman, I'm going to go back to you for your give me one team. And if you give me Indiana State, give me two teams.
That is one. I'm giving you that one.
If you give me Indiana State, I'll let you give me two teams does not actually. We do have Pitt, Gonzaga, and Ole Miss that are out for now. Those are the only teams we've mentioned so far that we're not yet in.
McNeese and Samford are right there too. So is Richmond. Gonzaga, because I believe
Richmond did lose to UMass last night. By the way, that was okay.
That so
you do go Gonzaga. Tytel, what do you think? Should our first four now be Seton Hall, Providence, Nebraska, and Gonzaga, with GCU and Indiana State kind of interspersed with them?
No veto.
Really? Okay. Matt, do we have the field right, or is there somebody else that we should?
I think we got it. I kind of like there that mix of data there.
Griggs, do we have the field right other than leaving your Pitt team out?
Yeah, but I mean that just ruins the whole thing. I forget how this segment goes. Are we going to do one where there's teams that we want to look at but didn't select?
Yeah, well, let me finish off the 12 line here. I believe the 12 line should be filled out with Samford and Appalachian State. McNeese is probably going to be this top of the 13 line, but those two teams are, as we discussed Monday night, not that far away from the bubble, actually. But
Greg, I don't think are they are either.
Are there some teams that we have not yet brought up that you think are really close, other than Pitt and Ole Miss, who just barely missed out?
I don't know how close they are because their paper is questionable, but I do think they're really, really good, and I want to talk about them because they are a first-place team, and they may be playing better than anybody else in the American right now. Let's pull up South Florida and just look at them. I didn't have them in, but I do think that they need to at least be – like on everyone's radar. No tier one.
Don't they at least need a top 100 net?
Yeah, I presumably if they went out, they would get there because you're talking about you know beating FAU, winning at Charlotte. I think that it would get into the top 100. And I realized that God, what a horrible week in November they had, losing to Maine and Central Michigan. But how about this? They probably won't get all the way to the bubble because it is an entire body of work. But where is this team seated if they win the auto bid? Because it is far from an impossibility that they will.
Well, Tytel, where would you seat South Florida if they won the automatic bid out of the American with their 263 overall strength of schedule and 330 non-conference strength of schedule?
But first place finish as well.
In a conference with unbalanced schedules where they got to play the bottom of the conference twice. Yeah. Go ahead, Tytel.
Are you giving them two wins over FAU, one regular season, one conference tourney?
Potentially, yeah.
Because that affects my answer. If so, I think that 13 would be appropriate.
So we'll look at the 13 line for them, which would not be inside the bubble. Matt, is there anybody else that we should be discussing seriously for an at-large bid?
A couple of teams not out here, I think I'd put would be Memphis and Drake.
Well, Memphis, as we record this, is down 7 late at North Texas, which would change that. But before that goes final, I would do agree with you that Memphis was close, assuming that they find a way to come back and win this game. I would almost throw this out here. As we record this, there's still 12 minutes left in the game. If Minnesota only down two at Purdue, wins this game, isn't Minnesota under consideration suddenly?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Tytel, anybody else that you think is close that we missed out, like your top four out of the lake?
Cincinnati, I think, is close. I don't want to break Stalika's heart even in his absence, but if you look at their losses, besides the recent one to Iowa State, like they're all against the toughest conference in the nation by 5 points or less. It's like all of them, which, as Chad likes to say, is it okay, Chad, to have close losses?
Well, see what the screen says.
They don't have any bad losses. I agree with myself.
A lot of close losses, though.
Brutal conference.
I think deservedly so, but Dorman, St. John's is completely out of the picture now.
They need to beat Creighton, Seton Hall. To me, yes, they need to go on a major run. I'm thinking almost to the finals to get back in the discussion. They've really fallen off here. And they can't really gain that much ground because you're looking at Georgetown, DePaul, Georgetown. So you got to win the Seton Hall and Creighton games, and I think go to the semis minimum, if not the finals in the Big East.
Yeah, the way Utah's been falling is not helping St. John's one bit either. That was one of their signature wins on this season. I will throw them on the list there. Greg, is anyone else want me to throw on the screen, or are we good to go here?
I think we're good to go here.
All right. What I'm going to do real quick here is reveal the 13 through 16 lines. And Greg, if you want to find out more about these teams, what should you do?
Well, you can do a couple things. The first thing you should do is go watch Under the Radar right now, because we talked. I mean, we spent over
pause this podcast, watch that one, then come back.
And then come back. The other thing you can do is you can go look at the team sheets right at the top of the page. They're replicas of the workbook that we use in the graphics in the show, so you can do that too.
But
you can look at all 362 teams if you want.
Here are the 13 line would be McNeese State, UNC Wilmington, Akron, and Yale. The 14 line, UC Irvine, Louisiana Tech, Vermont, and Eastern Washington. On the 15 line, we have High Point, Morehead State, Oakland, and Colgate. Avoiding Dayton, we have Quinnipiac and Southern with that win at Mississippi State. And going to Dayton, we have South Dakota State, Norfolk State, Merrimack, and Eastern Kentucky. That is our field. You can now go ahead and take a look at the final bracket. I'm going to run through each of you for any other final thoughts, either on what we did or anything else you want to discuss. And Matt, you're up first.
Well, this kind of reflects what we did in that, but like, we got the bracket reveal coming out Saturday. But I think we have the top 16 teams. I would love to have them put the last four in and the first four out as well, just to see kind of a debate down at the bottom. Because I think you saw as our episode here, we had more of a debate, I think, on those teams than we did the top 16. So, and I think it would bring some interesting discussion. See, is there an under-the-radar team they like? Would they say, like, Villanova, for instance, their overall record isn't great, but, man, the top of their profile is, would they maybe say, hey, make an exception and get Villanova in this conversation? Because I think Villanova, if they could just get volume of wins, I think would vault up a couple somewhere to the 10-11 line if they could just win some games.
I'll pull that Villanova profile up. I tried to pull the Villanova profile up. Unfortunately, I do not know how to spell Villanova, apparently. Try again. You're right. They have those three big wins there, but – what happened during the Big Five challenge is really starting to come back down on them at this point. Let's go back to the screen, though, and Dorman, you're up next.
Yes, every year we hear about, oh, the bubble stinks, the bubble's bad, the bubble's weak. You know, this year I think the bubble's actually very strong. I think the team's right at the end here that, like Matt just said, we had a real strong discussion on a lot of these. A lot of these teams right at the cut line have some really good wins. Obviously, they've slipped up along the way, and that's why they're on the cut line. But these are some really strong teams that will give plenty of problems no matter who they play. So I think it's going to be a real strong year right on the cut line, because these teams have shown us they can beat some of the best teams in the country.
I agree. Tytel.
So as far as the bracket, some of the coach that jumps out to me is Tony Bennett. He might conceivably have to play his former team, Washington State, in an 8-9 game. And if he wins, he might have to face the only other team in history to lose as a 1 seed to a 16 seed, Purdue. The storylines would be fantastic for that.
I'm going to see if we can't get that.
Yeah.
As far as the final thought, not on the board, I wanted to give you a preview of the first ever college sporting event ever with a pair of guys standing 7'5 or taller this coming Saturday when Mississippi hosts Missouri. Rebels have 7'5 transfer center Jamarian Sharp. Tigers have 7'5 transfer center Connor Vanover. We have seen taller guys in the past. Taco Fall at UCF was 7'6. Sean Bradley at BYU was 7'6, etc. We've never seen two guys this tall face each other in the same game at the same time. Now, Ole Miss is winless this month. Missouri is winless in 2024. So I'm not guaranteeing that it's going to be a fun game to watch by any stretch. But if it sucks, just check back 2 weeks later when Missouri hosts the rematch on March 2nd.
Okay. Greg, you want to finish the show out?
Yeah, just sort of more of a thought. Well, yeah, just more of an inquiry than a thought. Every year they have said for 20 years, and I believe them, the committee, that they looked – closely its strength of schedule and out of conference strength of schedule. And the past couple weeks and really months that we've been doing this, we have a lot of Big 12 teams in particular that are way up the seed list with lower strength of schedules, not just low, but in the 300s out of conference strength of schedules. And I kind of wonder, my question, my wonder to them would be, how are you going to react to that? Like, what are you going to do with that? And is there a case or a question as to, as good as the Big 12 is it sort of smoke and mirrors a little bit with all of those weak out-of-conference strength of schedules? And I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll learn something Saturday at the bracket reveal.
I think we will. Yes, it is Saturday, 12:30 on CBS. Check out the bracket reveal. We're definitely going to be discussing it Monday night on our next Hoops HD report. But on that note, let me get everybody here on the screen here. On that note, on behalf of David Dorman, John Tytel, Matt Zukowski, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Back again next week with a bunch more podcasts. Talk to you then. Real soon.